All right, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." God, will ask that you bless this morning and help us to understand that this wonder called faith, and that by faith great things can be done. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, the king of Israel at that time, we believe, was Jehu. He's the grandson of Ahab. So we're about 100 years after the North Kingdom and the South Kingdom split. And Elisha was the prophet at that time to the Northern Kingdom. He had followed Elijah. So when you read about Naaman, he was a special man in Syria. He was captain of the host. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable. And by him, the Lord had given deliverance. But then there's that one word. But he was a leper. Now, leprosy it's not what it was as far as the problems that it used to be. They've learned how to treat it. There are very few leper colonies anymore. But leprosy normally takes 3 to 5 years to incubate, and sometimes up to 20 years. It's a bacterial infection. And what happens is, because of that long incubation period, doctors have a hard time figuring out where you got it. But what happens is this: the bacteria is in you, and it takes a long time to come out. In the Old Testament, sin is pictured by leprosy. It's something that is within us, and sooner or later, yes, it will come out. So it can be inside our lives working and rotting our lives from the inside out. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So Jesus talked about that which is in our hearts and how it can come out. It can come out in our actions. It can come out through our mouths. Now, lepers in Israel, they were required to yell unclean when anybody came near them. Couldn't live in town. They lived on the outskirts. They were essentially outcast. But in Syria, they tolerated leprosy, and they could live with their families. And here's Naaman. He's captain of the army and everything. At that time, there was no cure for leprosy. If it ran its course and it was gone, that was fine. but there is no cure. In a similar manner, there's no cure for sin, is there? Not through mankind, not through education, philosophy, psychology. We know that it is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that there is salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of children, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And that's the blessing. God has the way to fix the insides of us. So on your outline there this morning, and Brother Dennis, they're up here at the front. We begin with point one, a captured slave. So this young maid is unnamed in Naaman's home. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. So here she is, point A, in a different culture, whole different world. She's pulled out of, and little maid, what you get is probably 12 to 16 at the most. Teenage girl's dream, right? Get captured by the enemy. I mean, and we're seeing that happen in Israel again, aren't we? Yeah. So she's pulled out of her culture. She's put into another person's home. Can you imagine the trauma that goes with that? And she's been uprooted, no family, no friends, none of that. The question is, are we willing to be those type of people that are faithful in a difficult situation? Now, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to say in a church building, in a Sunday school class, yeah, if that was me, I'd be faithful. It's another thing when you're the one that's been captured, isn't it? You know, nobody knows what they're going to do until that time. She had quite a good attitude, as we'll see. So point B is she's in a very difficult circumstance. This is not her fault. This is not her choice. This is not what she wants to be doing. And so here she is. She is a maid to Naaman's wife, but that means she's taking care of the whole house as well. And maybe she's having to take care of the things that are from the leprosy of Naaman. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." And those filthy rags can refer to those rags that are used to scrape off the excess of leprosy. There's no other way to put it, amen? You know? And so here she is, been put in this difficult circumstance. And though it doesn't say much about her, we can learn about her by the way she reacts. The Bible doesn't give us an indication that she was discontent, that she was bitter, that she was hateful towards the family. As a matter of fact, it seems because she voices her concern for the master of the house that she had a pretty good attitude about all of this, didn't she? So what the thought is here, circumstances should not dictate our discontent. Contentment's a choice. It's hard, isn't it? Sometimes we don't want to be content, but it is a choice. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It can't be done in our own flesh many times. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul hears the voice of the Lord say unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God can give us the strength and the ability to serve cheerfully. How many of y'all are good at griping and complaining? Yeah. Griping and complaining will not cause us to choose to serve cheerfully. We got to stop that for ourselves. Nobody's going to stop you from doing it. Now, they may not hang out with you anymore, but they won't stop you. Amen? So point C, we see a designed cause. In other words, God put this young lady where she is at this perfect time, serving the right person so that she can be there to give witness and testimony. You know, Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Wherever you're at, whenever it is, God has put you where you are so that you can serve him, so that you can do what he needs you to do. How many of y'all remember baseball player Reggie Jackson? He's good at stealing bases. He's playing for the Baltimore Orioles and the coach said, nobody steals a base unless I give the signal. Well, Jackson had been playing for a long time, and he knew every pitcher, knew every catcher, and he knew who he could steal against. And he wanted to show how good he was. And he wanted to prove himself to this new manager. Well, the thing was, is after he had stolen a base, at the end of the game, the coach came to him and he says, let me tell you why I didn't want you to steal. He says, because the next person up was Lee May, who was just as strong a hitter as you are. And because you left first base open, they walked him, so he couldn't drive you in. Then I had to put in a pinch hitter because the guy after Lee May is not a great hitter, and it left me short on my bench for the rest of the game. And, you know, here's the thing. We want to prove ourselves and show how great we are. Look, God's put us where we're at so that we can do his work. It's not about what I want to do. Amen? So point number two today is a careful servant. She had to be careful. You know, if you're the young maid of the house and you've been brought in from another place, you don't run the place. Amen? But she had, point A, an excellent attitude. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God looks at our attitude and says, what am I going to be able to do with this person? How's your attitude towards God? God may have you in a situation you don't like. I got to admit, I don't love having a cold. There's a lot of other things. I didn't want it to snow either. Wasn't my choice. Amen. We need to always be at that place that we can say, whatever you will, whatever you desire for my life. That's part of that relationship with God. And relationship is based upon to people that will care for one another and help one another. And God wants, there's certain things that he wants you to do. So point B, we're going to see that she took an exemplary action. Her attitude, plus the Spirit of God, allowed her to overcome in this situation. And what is she doing? Well, she's going to help the master of the house, this master who took her as a slave. Now, what we get pictures of slavery are not the same as the way it was always done. When a person was taken as a slave, not all of them were treated horribly. And if you were brought into somebody's house, that was usually a decent position. No, you couldn't leave, but they weren't beating you all the time. They weren't, you know, not feeding you. You got fed well. You were taken care of. No, you couldn't leave, but it's not like you were, you know, treated absolutely horribly. Probably treated better than most of the people are being treated that are hostages by Hamas right now, right? Isn't it amazing how God treats us? But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we've sinned, God reaches out, reaches into our lives, and lifts us up. And she's going to do the same thing in her own home to a man that, to tell you the truth, had taken her captive. So we're going to see under point three, a courageous speech. So, as a slave girl, they're not asking her opinion, are they? What do you think we ought to do about Naaman's leprosy? Was never said, right? But look what she does. Verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, so to Naaman's wife, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, there's a real big question right here. Why would Naaman's wife listen to this little girl? And why would somebody listen to Naaman's wife and then take that to Naaman? Because that's what's going to happen, isn't it? What an amazing thing. They trusted her. They went ahead and listened to her. So point A, the speech was in earnest. I don't know if she was passionate or whatever it was, but she cared about him enough to say, you know what, if he was with the prophet in Israel, he'd find out what God can do. When God changes us, it's amazing who we'll care for. Even the hateful. I think what probably one of the greatest and most classic examples is the Philippian jailer. He's got Paul and company in prison, and look what he does with them. He instead of hating them, he starts hearing all this stuff, and he's listening to their prayers and listening to their songs, and he's like, wow, these men care. And it was amazing how that just that moment changed his life forever. And we have to think about what the love of God does in our hearts and lives and how it's supposed to change us. In Jude 22, it says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Some people don't even know that they're disobeying God, they're being hateful, they're being angry. Some people just don't see it in themselves. And that's why God says, have compassion on those people. because we could be them. So her speech was earnest. Her speech was also extreme. For her to say what she said is absolutely incredible. She says, I just wish that he was with my Lord the prophet that's in Samaria. And you know, in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, it says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Here's the thing. Not only was none other cleansed, until that time, no leper had ever been cleansed that we know of by God. Now, there have been different people that God had given leprosy. Do y'all remember Miriam? Do y'all remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, it's just one of those things. There was leprosy that had been given, but nobody had ever been healed of it. So think about what this little girl is saying. She's saying, if he went to my friend or this man who is a prophet from my country, he'll be healed. How does she know this? If it's never happened before, she believes it by faith. She's heard about Elisha. She knows what God can do through him. In Luke 1, verse 37, it says, "For God, with God, nothing shall be impossible." And then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And here's the thing. You can say, "I've never seen God do this before." Yeah. What does that matter? It doesn't matter, does it? And I understand we're taught not to believe the impossible. But he's God, and he's unlimited. It's not about sometimes what he does and what he doesn't do, but it's the faith to believe that he can do. And we need to have that type of faith. So her speech was earnest. It was extreme. It was also very effective. So it's amazing that what she said goes to the ears of Naaman's wife, from Naaman's wife to some other servant in the house. And it says in verse 4, "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." They're all listening to a slave girl. Does your faith, does it come out in such a way, is it when other people you talk about God that they believe too? Because that's what happened here. And the message got passed through a couple of people, didn't it? Now, what happens from here is rather neat, because this king of Syria writes a letter and he sends it to Jehu, who is the king of Israel, who is a very ungodly man. And it says, "I've sent to you Naaman so that you can heal him of his leprosy." Now, Jehu is absolutely clueless as to what to do here. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want to go to war with Syria again because he's been losing these battles, right? And he's fretting now, what do I do? He's wondering if this is a joke or if this is some way to start another war. But Elisha, the prophet, hears about it and says, oh, send him over to my house. I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version. Naaman comes to Elisha's home, and Elisha doesn't even walk out the door. He sends out Gehazi, his servant. And his servant goes and tells him to wash himself in the Jordan River 7 times. Now, 2 Kings 5:11 says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He says, behold, I thought, here's what I thought was going to happen. Here's what I wanted to do. And ladies and gentlemen, Naaman wanted this salvation. Naaman wanted this healing on his terms. Salvation doesn't come on our terms. Redemption doesn't come on our terms. Healing doesn't come on our terms. As a matter of fact, the one thing that I have learned about prayer is this. I can pray for something to have it happen, and God may answer that prayer, but there's a lot of times that God answers that prayer far differently than what I thought it was going to happen. Isn't it amazing? But it's always better. We want the God of the miraculous. Do you know why the Jews refused to accept their Messiah? Because he came as a humble man. They wanted God the warrior, but he came as a suffering servant. And they just couldn't understand that. And so they rejected him. Naaman was finally convinced to obey the message. His servant begins to speak to him and begins to calm him down just a little bit. And it says in verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What a great picture of salvation, isn't it? Sin's ravaging us from the inside out. But when we turn to the Lord, he can change us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you remember in verse 11, Naaman said, behold, I thought. Now notice verse 15. He says, and he returned to the man of God, and he said, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know. Behold, I thought, now I know. What a change. And this is a man that there's no way that he could be changed like this. But he did, because God did something incredible. He says, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. There's a lot of difference between what we think and what we ought to know. And if we are paying attention, we might learn something that we need to know. It's amazing how an unnamed young girl, her faith was so strong that when she spake, all these people listened. I mean, think about it. The captain of the host of Syria ends up listening. The king of Syria ends up listening. The king of Israel ends up listening, and it comes back to the prophet of God. That's just all a coincidence. No way, amen? God, we are thankful that when our faith is in you, we see the God of the impossible do the impossible. Lord, may we believe that in you everything's possible. May our hearts become those that just trust in you no matter what. May our attitudes be like that of this young girl, that even in a difficult situation, we believe what you can do. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen.